Bibles, Colossians chapter 1, Colossians chapter 1. Well, I preached four messages on knowing God's will, verses 9 through 14. This morning, we're going to really focus on verses 15 through 18. And let me see here. So do I have it? I just turned it off. There you go. All right, let's see here. Is it working? I've messed it up, Gail. I've messed it up here. So sorry about that. So we're going to look at verses 15 through 18. So Gail, just put it on the one where I'll click it and it'll be that, because the title is, we don't have a title slide, so I don't want the first point to come up until I speak the first point. So just where I'll click it and then it'll be there. So just, I guess, the HBC screen, and then when I click it, it'll be the first thought, because we don't have a title. So that's perfect. So the next one, all right, awesome. We're going to begin in verse 12 this morning, but we're really going to begin in our preaching from verse 15, 16, and 17. Let's begin in Colossians chapter 1, verse 12. It says this, "Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." Now, verse 15, still speaking of the Father's dear Son, who, verse 15, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he, the Father's dear Son, he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. The title of the message this morning is God's Dear Son. We see that I began with verses 12, 13, and 14 just as a review. We talked last week about things we should be thankful for those that are saved. If you're born again, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, and it is, you see in verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance. God made us, the one that made us acceptable, the one that made us able to be partakers, and we are inheritance. We are inheritors of this great gospel, and we are basically, the great gift is the Lord, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. When you're saved, you no longer have to live in sin. That's one of the great benefits. And he's translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son so that we can do what's right. We're translated into the kingdom of light. We go from darkness unto light, in whom we have redemption through his blood. The ransom's been paid. We have redemption. It took the blood of Jesus Christ, even the forgiveness of sins. Now this morning, what I want you to see is, in terms of God's dear Son, I want you to understand why the focus and emphasis of Jesus Christ. I'm going to share some things with you that I want you to listen fully, right? I want you to know what I believe the Bible teaches and what I believe, that the solution for all problems comes down to Jesus Christ. It doesn't mean that I'm anti-medicine. My wife's a pharmacist. I have two daughters that are nurses. I praise the Lord for medical professionals. I praise the Lord for advancements that help us, right? I mean, so don't misunderstand me, but I want you to understand this, that the great need that we have, the solution for every problem that we have, is the Lord Jesus Christ. I am not going to be able to help you with medicine. But let me tell you this, is your marriage troubled? You need to pursue, you need to get to know Jesus Christ. I didn't say that would fix your marriage. But I'll tell you, your great need in a good marriage, your great need in a broken marriage, is we need to pursue, we need to be consumed, we need to immerse ourselves in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and his work. That's the solution. Didn't say it would fix your marriage. Your need after someone's passed, death is final. death, there's great sadness. And when you pursue Christ, it's not going to raise them from the dead during this lifetime so you can spend time with them again. But your great need is the Lord Jesus Christ. I didn't say there wouldn't be a place for other things that will give you comfort. But your great need is this. Your great need is the Lord Jesus Christ. And you want to be able to be a better spouse. You need to know Christ. You need to just spend time in His Word and begging Him and seeking His face and saying, I need you. I don't even know what I'm doing, but I need Christ. I believe this preacher, and I'm going to continue to seek your face every day of my life, all day long. And I know we have things to do, but I want you to understand this. You have, if you're depressed, depression's real. I didn't say that there's not a place for medicines. Our bodies can get out of whack. Our hormones can get out of whack. I'm a huge believer in this. I'm a huge believer in learning our bodies. God's the one that designed our bodies. I'm a big vitamin C guy. So, I mean, because I don't think you can take too much vitamin C. I'm pretty sure about that. But I you know why? Because I, can you? You urinated out, right? I mean, so if I could say it, right? But it's not going to hurt you, right? So, okay, just to make sure. Because, I mean, now my wife's back there. She's like, well, you know. Anyway, but you know why I am? Because I wanted to trigger my body for the way it worked, right? I'll tell you. So just before I get in this rant, I mean, you should look this up. Don't do anything based on what I'm saying. I take vitamin D and zinc every day. Just started doing that. It's the number one thing. You look it up. You talk to your doctor. Number one thing that is recommended that you should do for COVID-19. Talk to your doctor. Look it up. Do your research. Because vitamin D you can take too much of, right? So you got to be careful with that, right? But, you know, so I'm doing it because you know why? Because I want it to trigger my immune system the way God designed it, and I'll trust in the Lord. You know, I might get COVID, I might not, but you know, if there's something that'll take advantage of this body, so I'm not against all that. But I will tell you this, you know what I need in order to cope with my fears? Because if you watch the television too much, you're going to be afraid, you're going to be fearful. That doesn't mean you should be foolish. But I will tell you what you and I need is we need the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to even try to figure out what does that mean that I need the Lord Jesus Christ. Caleb says, I know Jesus. I've kind of been taught that all my life. What more is there for me to know about Jesus Christ? There's a whole lot more for you to know. You're going to know Him by studying His Word. You're going to know Him by serving Him. So you're going to have some continued searching of truth. And then you're going to have experience that'll match this truth, and it will embolden you and it'll draw you to the Lord so that you will have less wasted time in your life, so that you'll redeem the time for the days are evil. I tell you this, that the solution for everything is Jesus Christ. Again, that doesn't mean that I'm anti-medicine, anti-anything. I will tell you, your greatest need today is the Lord Jesus Christ. Because for a lot of things, your circumstances aren't going to change. If you spend your life and spend your time looking for the solution to fix your problems, because the only way you're going to be happy, the only way you're going to be satisfied is if your circumstances change or if your problems get fixed, welcome to a life of misery and unhappiness. I don't want my life to be based on I'm going to spend all my time trying to fix this situation so that then I can have peace. I didn't say you don't pray and ask the Lord for wisdom and you don't seek help to remedy situations. I didn't say that. Make sure of this. But what we have to do, in whatsoever state I am, I will be content. I will trust the Lord. And the only way we can do that is understanding and learning more about the Lord Jesus Christ. I will say this as introduction as well. That I really talk to believers that the Lord Jesus Christ is what we need more of. It's sort of like, you know, I'm very conscious of how many steps I take, right? And so, you know, a couple weeks ago, just missed it. I had 99,000 some odd steps. Man, just missed 100,000. Right, so this week, a little sedentary. And so I finished the week yesterday. It was like 64,000 steps. So I get on the scale. Sure enough, I saw the impact of, you know, about 36,000 fewer steps. And so it was, so you know, I'm very conscious of my activity, and it's a good thing, isn't it? How many of you have a watch that tracks your steps? Does it motivate you? You know, and it kind of reminds me every hour, hey, you haven't moved this hour, and so I tap my leg just to get some steps in, right? Nobody else has done that. And you guys are a bunch of cheaters. But it's good. It keeps me conscious of my physical activity. And there's a balance, right? The Bible says, you know, that there's a little benefit in the taking care of, you know, the bodily exercise. Ah, but godliness is profitable unto all things. You see, what we need is somehow we need something that we would have on our watch that would say, hey, you really haven't been paying attention to Jesus. You really haven't spent some time with the Lord Jesus Christ. What did you learn today about the Lord Jesus Christ? Or what were you reminded of today about the Lord Jesus Christ that you already knew, but boy, it was refreshing, and it just really helped you focus and keep you on the track of honoring the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to figure out ways to do that. Because here's what happens. I know, I've been there. It's a little bit more difficult as a pastor because you always have to be ready to preach the next sermon. But some of you, and I want to tell you, you're not in you're in good company. Some of you, the last time you opened your Bible was the last time you came to church. Again, I'm not trying to put you on a guilt trip. I'm telling you this, if that's the case, you are struggling whether you know it or not. You isolate yourself from the Lord Jesus Christ. You isolate yourself from being dominated by the Lord Jesus Christ. And it will hurt you whether you know it or not. You can argue with me and say, I've had a good week, Pastor. Well, praise the Lord for the grace and mercy of God, but we need the Lord Jesus Christ. So this morning, I'm going to really just talk about what makes Jesus the one that should get all of our attention. Why Jesus? Because I want you to tell you this. You got to understand this. I want it to be refreshing to you. I want it to be emboldening to you. I want it to be the priority for you. But I also want you to understand that Jesus is just one of the mix in the United States of America. People get extremely offended when you tell them Jesus Christ is the only way you will avoid the judgment of God. You will avoid the wrath of God. You can say it nicely. But when you really are clear, all religions aren't the same. They aren't even close to the same. And we need to be nice about it. We don't need to be mean. I'm telling you this, that we need to understand and we need to be focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. The world is not focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know why I think that is? Because Christians aren't focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. They ought to look at our lives and say, I want that life. But they don't. Because very few of us, me included, really are focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 15. I want you to see this. The first thing I want you to see about God, dear son, is he is the image of the invisible God. He is the image of the invisible God. I want you to turn over in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1, and I'll turn there with you, because there's one verse I want to read that I didn't type out in my notes. So we're going to start at verse 1. We're going to start at verse 1. So what makes Jesus qualified to be the one that you have to focus on? Jesus, who is he? Because I want to tell you this, it's not that you just believe in God. The devils believe there is one God and they tremble, but it's the Lord Jesus Christ. It says this in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, God, who at sundry times or different times and in divers or different manners spake in time past with the fathers by the prophets. So God's dealt with people in different ways through the centuries. Verse 2. Hath in these last days, so God has in these last days, spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath, and so what has God done through Jesus? He hath appointed him heir of all things. So Jesus is heir of all things. Praise the Lord for those of us that are believers. We're joint heirs. Who hath appointed him heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. We'll see that in our message this morning. Who, this is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His Son, and upholding all things by the word of His power, whom He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. Look at verse 3 again. Who being the brightness of His glory, of the glory of God, and the express image of His person. I want you to turn over to John chapter 14. What makes Jesus the one that we must submit to? What makes Jesus the one that the world must submit to is, first, He is the image of the invisible God. Look at John chapter 14. In fact, I'll turn there because I really want to start more broadly than I even put in my notes as well. John chapter 14. We're going to start with verse 1. I'll try not to preach a message from each verse. Jesus is really just trying to comfort His 11. Judas has left to go betray Jesus. This is the night before the crucifixion. And Christ gave them some bad news in chapter 13. He said, one of you is going to betray me, talking of Judas. He told Peter, he said, before the rooster crows twice, you'll deny me three times. And then he said, I'm leaving and you can't come with me. These men had spent 3 years with Christ, and He's going to try to comfort them in John 14. Let's look at verse 1. After He says all that, He says, let not your heart be troubled. Easier said than done. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. You see, He's even telling right here in verse 1, believing in God is not enough. Your faith has to be in Jesus Christ. Jesus is God. But I will tell you, many people, they are dead sincere. They're super kind. I love them, and they will tell me, I love God. Well, the real question is, what about Jesus? It always comes down to Jesus. He says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And then He goes and He says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. He's telling them, hey guys, it's going to be rough now, but boy, I'm preparing some amazing things for you in the future. And He says in verse 3, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And He's saying this. He's saying, guys, believe in me. He's saying, I've got some great things planned for you in eternity. And He says this, I'm coming again. Those are some things to remember. And then He says this in verse 4. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas, the only time Thomas is really recorded in the Bible speaking, Thomas was Mr. Negative. So, you know, if you're struggling with negativity, you struggle with just, you know, the glass is half empty. Well, that was Thomas. So Jesus said in verse 4, and whither I go, you know, and the way you know. And He says in verse 5, Thomas said unto Him, Lord, we don't know what you're talking about. We know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And then this great verse that we use evangelistically, but really is given to believers. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now verse 7. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth you know him and have seen him. Look again at verse 7. Jesus is telling them, if you had known me, you would have known my Father. To know Jesus is to know God the Father. To know God the Son is to know God the Father. He says, if you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth you know him and have seen him. Jesus said this, guys, you've seen the Father. I love this. Philip said unto him, said unto Jesus, verse 8, Lord, show us the Father, and that in it suffices. That'll be sufficient. You know, thank you, Jesus. We appreciate that. But no, we haven't seen the Father. So if you could just give us a little peek. We would love to see the Father, and all will be well. Our heart won't be troubled. Jesus said this in verse 9. Jesus said unto him, he said, have I been so long with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. I want you to understand this. What makes Jesus qualified, I thought I had already done it. What makes Jesus qualified is he's the image of the invisible God. You see, you want to see God? I mean, there's crazy things. Every message, I always come up with new taglines how to get people's interest. You know, I could walk up to people and they'd be like, yeah. You know, if you walk, you want to see God? You know, maybe they might think I'm nuts. But they probably would listen to me as long as I wasn't, you know, foaming at the mouth or something. And I'd say, I'm going to show you God. I'm going to teach them about Jesus. Because Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Jesus is the image of the invisible God. You know, I've got friends that might disagree, and we'll find out when we get in heaven. It says, no man has seen God face to face. I still don't think we'll see God the Father in heaven. I think we'll see his glory. I think we'll see his light. But I think when we want to see God physically, tangibly, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. I still think that's going to be the case in heaven. And we won't have this question that Philip had, but we still have this question to go, I would love to see God. Jesus says, I'm it. I am the image of the invisible God. Jesus is the representative. Jesus is the one that says, I am the image. You want to put God in flesh? It's me. Philip, you've seen me. You've seen the Father. It's what qualifies Jesus. I want you to understand this. It's unique. Jesus is God. It's critical that we understand that. It's critical that he's the one we worship. It's critical that he's the one we serve and that we submit to every day. Every day, when we're thinking right, it's about the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to ask you this. That's pretty daunting, isn't it? But he's God. So Jesus knew this. Jesus, every time you see him talk, he knew when he was here on earth. And it's really, I forget, I was having a Bible study recently. It might have been your Bible study, where he was picking up steam and getting them ready to crucify him. And all he was telling them, he was saying, I only speak what the Father tells me to speak. I'm created in his image. I'm in submission to the Father. I'm equal to the Father. They knew that he was saying that he was God. And he's saying this, my purpose, because I'm created in the image of the invisible God, my purpose is to serve and honor the one that I came to represent. Jesus is eternal. I want to ask you this. That's a big responsibility, isn't it? Is there anyone else in the Bible that says they were created in the image of God? Man. I'm not suggesting that we are like Jesus, but let me tell you, Adam was in many ways, he wasn't eternal, but Adam was created perfect. Adam was created sinless. Adam was created in the image of God. Jesus, we've studied this, is actually called the last Adam. He's the Adam, A-D-A-M, that will fulfill the law. He was the Adam that would fulfill God's purpose. He would shed his blood. He would die on the cross. He'd be buried and he'd rise again. I want you to understand this, that you and I bring this up, when you think about Jesus, that he was created in the image of the invisible God, and that the responsibility of Jesus was always to represent the Father, the responsibility of Jesus was to speak what the Father had given him, I want to suggest to you that the reason why we also should be focused and that every day would be, Father, what would you have me to do today? It's because we also are created in the image of God. I want to take you to a passage that I just had fun with this past week. Just in a different way, I want you to turn to Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12. I also have heard people say this before, that, and I disagree with this, where they'll say, well, Mike, you're not created in the image of God because you were born of fallen parents, sinful parents. So Adam was created in the image of God, but you aren't. I could have that argument all day long, but you know what I love about the Bible? The Bible tells us this. Just, I could name several references. 1 Corinthians 11:7 says, for a man is the image and glory of God. The Bible says that all over. We are fallen. We are broken. We are imperfect representatives
of the image of God, but nonetheless, we still are created in the image of God, even as the offspring of Adam and all of the offspring through the centuries. So, I believe this. Aaron, you're created in the image of God, and therefore, you're an image bearer. What are you going to do with that? Will you glorify God with that? The only way to do that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. But look at Mark chapter 12. I just had a good time with it this past week. Maybe you won't enjoy it as much as I did. It's Jesus being confronted by the Pharisees, verse 13. And they sent unto him certain of the Pharisees, Mark chapter 12, verse 13, and they sent unto him certain of the Pharisees and of the Herodians to catch him in his words. They're going to try to trip him up. And when they were come, they said unto him, Master, we know that thou art true and carest for no man, for thou regardest not the person of men, but teachest the way of God in truth. They don't believe any of that, but they're saying the right words. Is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not? Shall we give or shall we not give? And so they thought they had him, because if Jesus says, don't give unto Caesar, they would turn him into the Romans as someone trying to be an insurrectionist and try to cause division. And the Romans then would potentially arrest Jesus because he was saying, don't pay your taxes. But they also said, if Jesus says, pay your taxes, that the Jews hated the Romans, so they can't lose. They've got Jesus. They say, hey, Jesus, is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not? Shall we give or shall we not give? They thought, we can't lose with this. Jesus being the all-knowing God. But he, knowing their hypocrisy, said unto them, why tempt ye me? Bring me a penny that I may see it. And they brought it, and he said unto them, whose is the image and superscription? And they said unto him, Caesar's. And Jesus said unto him, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. And they marveled at him. The reason I took you to this passage is you look at a coin, and we've got, you know, different people on our coins, on our dollar bills, and George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, you know, go on down the line. And he said, whose image is on that? Then render unto the image that was created unto. I want to tell you what the Bible says is, you were created in the image of God. Jesus is the image of the invisible God. We are inferior to that, but we are still created in the image of God. Jesus is the one we submit to, and when we submit to him, it is that every day should be about the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus, why should we submit to him? He's created in the image of the invisible God. Jesus is God. Second thing I want you to see, look back at this passage, Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, who, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Now, wow, this would be an awesome Sunday school class question to ask. What does that mean, that Jesus is the firstborn of every creature? Let me tell you that Jehovah's Witnesses, and Mormons in particular, and we need to love Jehovah's Witnesses, we need to love Mormons, but I want you to understand this, they don't know who Jesus is. They believe Jesus is created. They believe Jesus is not eternal. You've got to ask them specifically. They do not believe that Jesus has no beginning. They believe, and this is one of their hallmark passages, Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, that says that Jesus is the firstborn of every creature. Now, I want you to understand this, as we saw at the end of verse 18, it's this, at the end of verse 18, that Jesus might have the preeminence. That's what all of this is leading up to, that we might give Jesus the preeminence. Jesus should have the preeminence because he's the image of the invisible God. Jesus should have the preeminence because he's the firstborn of every creature. But what does that mean? Our culture in the United States, in fact, our language, we don't even know what that means. It didn't say, Caleb, that he was the first created. It says that he was the firstborn of every creature. And so in this context, it's so that he would have preeminence. I want you to understand, I believe this, that this is dealing really with the rights of the firstborn. I believe this is dealing with that the firstborn would have the priority. And you understand this, the firstborn didn't always mean the one that was born first. Jacob and Esau. The elder shall serve the younger. And Jacob had the rights of the firstborn. The firstborn would have the leadership, would have the authority, and as the firstborn, you would be in subjection to the firstborn. That's what it is. Let me just read a few thoughts for you. It's that, no, Jesus is called the firstborn, not the first created. The word firstborn signifies priority. I think I've mentioned this. In the culture of the Middle East, the firstborn was not necessarily the oldest child. Firstborn referred not to birth order, but to rank. The firstborn possessed the inheritance and leadership. I want you to just listen to Psalm 89:27, where it says, I will make him, speaking of the Messiah, my firstborn, higher than the kings of the earth. I believe when it says that Jesus is the firstborn of every creature, that it's this, he has the leadership, he is the heir, and we are all beneath him. He has the rights, he has the preeminence, he has the leadership. Here's what I have to tell you. I believe this with all my heart. If this means that Jesus was created, none of you, including me, can ever have eternal life. The only way that we can have eternal life is if someone takes our eternal punishment. And if Jesus is created, he's not eternal. No beginning, no end. And so I want you to understand that you should come to this passage and go, you might say, I have no idea what this means, the firstborn of every creature. But I do not want you to get confused and say, well, maybe Jesus did start when he was born. No, the Bible says this, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It says this in verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. In the beginning was the Word, and Jesus is the Word. In the beginning of what? In the beginning of time. We talked that in Sunday school this morning. There's no beginning for eternity. Why should we submit to Jesus? He's the image of the invisible God. Why should we submit to Jesus? He's the firstborn of every creature. He's the elder son. He is the one that is going to be the heir. He is the one that is the authority. He is the one that we're in submission to. And so it's critical. Third thing I want you to see, it says this, he's the creator of all things. Look at this, for by him were all things created. If you were confused what all things might be, the Bible says this, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. Turn back to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. We'll just look at this quickly. John chapter 1. Why should we submit to God's dear Son? He's the image of the invisible God. He's the firstborn of every creature. He's the creator of all things. Let's just begin with verse 1. It'll be good. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. So let me just read it. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 2. The same was in the beginning with God. Jesus was there at the beginning, because he's always been. All things were made by him, by Jesus. And without him was not anything made that was made. When we read that in Hebrews chapter 1 this morning, it also said that Jesus is the creator. Jesus made all things. And so I want you to understand that he's the creator. So let me ask you this question. Can you be a Christian and not believe that Jesus created all things? I'm going to say yes. I want you to listen. You're wrong if you don't believe Jesus created all things. So let me ask you this question. Can a Christian believe wrong things, or can someone believe wrong things and still be a Christian? What is critical that someone believes and knows and puts their faith in? Is it that they put their faith in, do they have to know that Jesus, do they have to submit that Jesus created all things in 6 literal days? That's not part of the gospel. Folks, I believe it's critical because you'll view the Word of God differently and you'll have to make things up. But I want you to understand this. Is the reason we should submit to the Lord Jesus Christ, He's the image of the invisible God. He's the firstborn of every creature, and He is your creator. You see, every single person is a creation of God. In order to be a child of God, you must be born again. I didn't excuse it. I study the Word of God. Carl Kirby will be an aid to you if you're struggling. We're not here to beat you up. Folks, if people use a different Bible, should we beat them up? No. If people believe differently about us with the origins of the world, should we beat them up? No, we should teach them. We should love them. But I want to tell you this. I'm not going to beat them up. So it's not. Now, let me tell you when you should beat people up. But let me tell you what I'll fight over. I'll fight over the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let me just summarize the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I haven't ever heard creation being involved in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Here's what you must understand, and I believe this, that Jesus is the eternal God. Let me tell you, if you don't believe He's the eternal God, it's a different Jesus. It's why I have such big issues with the Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons. They believe He's a different God. They believe in a different God because they don't believe He's eternal. And then they also reject the true gospel because they believe it's works-based. The true gospel of Jesus Christ says Jesus alone can save you. Faith in Jesus Christ. You must understand that Jesus is God. You must understand that you are in trouble because of your sin. And that Jesus is the only hope. He's God. He came. He died on the cross. He shed His blood. He was buried and He rose again. You must believe that it's that simple. Do you have to be a creationist to be saved? That's not in the gospel, is it? Will it cause you issues with how you study the Word of God? It will. But we will have patience. We will teach. We will love. We will encourage. But I want you to understand this. Jesus is the creator of all things, whether visible, invisible, all the powers. And so, guess what? This is a great verse for us. I'm not nervous about Tuesday. I'm not. I'm okay with independence of churches, whatever churches do. Don't ask me. We're never going. Okay, now I got to be careful because I say things so strongly. I should just shut up. So we're not going to have a voter registration drive here. We're not. I think voting's important. I'm not going to waste your time with that. Voting's important. You should vote. But let me tell you, you know what? God is the one that's in charge. He's the one that puts principalities and powers, and you should vote. I will not be upset Wednesday morning because we're probably not going to know anyway. But I'm not going to be upset no matter what. You know what? God's in charge. You know what I'm fascinated about? What's He doing? What's going to happen after Tuesday? I want to tell you this. Our mission doesn't change. It's the mission of Jesus Christ. It's the mission of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But I want you to know this. The reason why we should submit is that Jesus created all things. Let me just read some things. This is just so cool. The universe. I just read these things because this couldn't happen randomly. And so just listen to this. The star Antares is 60,000 times larger than our sun. There's a star 60,000 times larger than our sun. If the sun were the size of a softball, the star Antares would be the size of a house. That's just an awesome God. And He made the stars also. The earth travels around the sun about 8 times the speed of a bullet from a gun. I'm surprised my hair's not blowing back right now because we are flying right now. Is that amazing? We're moving, man. We're moving, moving, moving. Earth rotates every day. And whoosh. Who? We'll be at the same spot 365 days from now, give or take. And this is the one I thought was interesting, and I hate this one. I praise the Lord I'm on a quarter acre. It says, there are more insects in 1 square mile of rural land than there are human beings on the entire earth. That's why I'm a city boy, too. So I didn't get the data on the city. You know what I mean? Because then I bring out the mosquito people, right? But there are more insects in 1 square mile of rural land than there are human beings on the entire earth. That's just an amazing God, isn't it? And when I go to those rural places, they all bite me. And I knew it. I have over 8 billion bites when I go out to the country. This is just a great God. I mean, listen to this about the bees. Bees make their own air conditioning. I thought they'd never looked, you know, like they're sweating. Didn't want to get that close, but when one stung me, I thought, you're not sweating. It says this, when it gets hot, here's what they do. One group goes to the entrance of the beehive, another goes inside, and they start flapping their wings, and they create a cross draft and remove the heat from the hive. Just random. Lucky. Just random. That's God. That's amazing. Listen to this. A single human chromosome contains 20 billion bits of information, give or take 100 billion, like we know. But what we do know is in a chromosome, there's a lot of information. Just one little chromosome. Just one little chromosome. 20 billion bits of information. How much is that? If written in ordinary books, in ordinary language, it would take up 4,000 books just to contain what's in one chromosome. I will tell you, there is great joy. Let me just encourage you with this. We love you if you disagree with me. It's okay. And I know there are many in our room that disagree. It's okay. It's okay. I'm pro-science. I'm pro-knowledge. But I will tell you this. You know what? It's really cool when I look out and I get to see God's creation, and I just know it wasn't random, let me tell you. And when I find out about the bees, it's really cool. Not that I want to get close to a hive and say, how's the air conditioning coming, guys? But I want to tell you, it's amazing. It's amazing. I'll just give you this one example. I'm so confident God's designed our bodies and just to live in through pandemics and whatever else. I want to tell you this. We ought to be wise. We ought to take precautions. We ought to do all those things, particularly those that are elderly and those that have health risks, all those things. We ought to take that into account and take precautions, right? But I sort of like the spirit of Stonewall Jackson. Stonewall Jackson, where he got his name, right? I love Stonewall because when he would lead his men into battle, he would be the first always on his horse leading them into battle. And the men loved him. They said, oh, General Jackson, they said, do not lead us. We'll go first and you follow us. And he said, men, I will always lead you. He said, I am invincible until there's a bullet with my name on it. And he said, I will lead you. And he said, I will be the first to go. The night before he would take them into battle, Stonewall Jackson would share the gospel again with these men, and he would say, men, half of you will be dead tomorrow. Are you right with God? And then Stonewall Jackson would lead his men, and you know how Stonewall Jackson died? It was by friendly fire. There was a bullet that had his name on it, but it wasn't from the enemy. It was from friendly fire. I want you to know this. God created you. He created your body. And I'll tell you, when you understand that he's the one that's in charge, when you understand that he's the one that is created in the image of the invisible God, that he's the firstborn of every creature, and that he's the creator, you can submit to him, you can trust him, and perfect love removes fear. You see, the more that we love Jesus, the more it'll remove fear. I want to tell you, have anxiety, have fear, then get to know Jesus better. See, there's great benefits in understanding simple truth. There's great blessings in understanding simple truth. And my forethought, I'm just going to introduce it and I'll finish it next week. My forethought is this. God's dear Son, not only is he created in the image of the invisible God, not only is he in the image of the invisible God, not created, but firstborn of every creature, the creator of all things, but he's the focus of all things. We'll talk about that a little bit more. I want you to understand this. I ask you this question when I close. Is Jesus your focus? There's very few weeks. I don't even know if I can ever say there's weeks. Maybe I should say this. There's very few days that I can say that my life today, that my day was focused on him and for him. Do you see this? look at this at the end of verse 16, and it says, all things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. I want you to understand this. Every single person in this room, saved or lost, every single person in this room, whatever your eternity is, you were created by the Lord Jesus Christ and for him. You will glorify the Lord. Every single person in this room, you will glorify the Lord for eternity. I want you to know that here's the message of the Bible. It's this: believe on the Lord Jesus Christ so that you can live with him and you can glorify him in eternal life for all eternity. The other option is this: those that do not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you will spend all eternity in separation from him, in eternal damnation, in eternal punishment. But let me help you understand this: in eternal glory for God. I didn't suggest that God wanted people to go to hell, but I will tell you, everyone that will spend eternity ultimately in the lake of fire will spend eternity in there glorifying God, not by going hallelujah. There'll be nobody in the lake of fire with their lips praising God. There's no evidence of that in the scripture. But I will tell you, with the smoke of their torment, they will glorify God. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ now, because you were created by him and for him. And I will tell you, you will know him, and the more you know him, the more you'll love him. And if you do not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you were created by him and for him, and you will glorify him, but not nearly as pleasant as life eternal. I want you to understand this. This message this morning, I don't know if you learned anything new. There probably wasn't anything new. But I'll tell you this. If we as Christians just had this on our lips and had it kindly, see, because most people are going to disagree with us. Most people are going to disagree that Jesus is the only way, that only through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that Jesus is God. See, most people will disagree with me because I'm going to tell you this, that it's not Jesus plus you. It's not a cooperative. It's not Jesus and then I've got to be good, because if I'm not good, then I can't go to heaven. No, it's Jesus and Jesus alone. See, I just eliminated like 99% of the people of the world. Even those that say they believe in Jesus, they think it's Jesus plus me. It's Jesus and Jesus alone. Why? Because he's created in the image of the invisible God. Because he's the firstborn of every creature. Because he's creator of all things. And everything is focused on him. Let's declare this. Oh, Christian, let's live it. Is Jesus our passion? Is Jesus our priority? Let's pray.